down through the generations, there have been many songs written about parties. One was, "The party is over, my friend." Another one was, "It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to." The other one was, "It's the party's over. Turn off the lights, my friend." What about parties? What does God say about parties? Well, I want to take you to a party that soon ended in a very dramatic way. It's a party you won't forget. Heard the expression, everybody loves a party. As a matter of fact, you can go to the malls and often you can find party stores where you can buy all sorts of things for festivities. You and I have heard some wonderful stories about some awesome parties, but we've also heard some stories about parties that ended in disaster. Well, Daniel, in his book, tells us about a party that was thrown by Belshazzar. You say, who's Belshazzar? Well, that's a good question. He's a man that we're meeting for the first time in the book of Daniel. And to put you in the context of that party, let's open up to Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, Belshazzar, the king, held a great feast, a great party, for 1,000 of his nobles, 1,000 of his nobles. And he was drinking wine in the presence of the thousands. And when Belshazzar tasted the wine, he gave orders to bring out the gold and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken out of the temple, which were in Jerusalem, in order that the king and his nobles and his wives and his concubines might drink from them. And then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken out of the temple, out of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles and his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank the wine and praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze and iron and wood and stone. And then there was a performance at the party. It was a performance that they hadn't planned on. It was not somebody that they had hired to entertain them. All of a sudden, God intervened. Suddenly, a finger of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. Then the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts alarmed him, and his hip joints went slack, and his knees began knocking together. And the king called aloud to bring in the conjurers, the Chaldeans, and the diviners. And the king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Any man who can read the inscription and explain its interpretation to me will be clothed with purple and have a necklace of gold around his neck and have authority as the third ruler in the kingdom." I mean, that's quite an offer. That's quite an offer. I mean, what happened at this party so shook the king? And if you can catch a picture of this, but what was happening was he was sitting on his throne. And as he sat on his throne and he saw this handwriting on the wall, which he did not understand, and it was probably in Aramaic, and he spoke the language, but he didn't understand it. Many tekel, you Sarpson. He didn't understand it. But something about what happened, all of a sudden, just in a sense, sobered that man up, scared him to death. So all of a sudden, his hips go slack. I mean, just slack. And it's like he is just lounging there and in that thing. And not only do his hips go slack, but his knees begin to knock. They're not applauding. Believe me, they're not applauding. They are knocking. He is absolutely pale. He is so shaken. He has got to know what is written on the wall. All of a sudden, the atmosphere at the party changed. And I want to tell you something. Not only did the atmosphere at the party change, but on that fateful night, everything changed. Absolutely everything. Now, you say, what happened? Well, I'm not going to tell you yet. Unless you've read the text. If you've read the text, then you know what has happened. But I'm not going to tell you because I want to stop and I want to look at who Belshazzar is. Not Belshazzar. That was the other name for Daniel. But this is Belshazzar. And I want us to look at who he is. I want us to look at the timing in history and what is going on at this party. Because it's like that old song that you probably don't even know unless you listen to the old movies. The party is over, my friend. Or it's like that recent song, or maybe not so recent, but a song that you might remember. And it's my party, and I'll cry if I want to. Well, this man was about to cry, and it was his party. Outside the walls, those strong fortifications of Babylon, were the Medes and the Persians. As a matter of fact, just a week or so before, they had defeated in that open field Nabonidus, who was the father of Belshazzar. They had defeated him, and he went running. I mean, he just took off and he left. But his son was inside the palace, and his son thought he was perfectly secure. Why did he think he was perfectly secure? He thought he was perfectly secure because of the fortifications of that city. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had built a great, great city. You say, Kay, if I remember correctly, when you were reading Daniel chapter 5, you said that Belshazzar's father was Nebuchadnezzar. Well, this was a common thing to refer to a king as having his great-grandfather or his great-great-grandfather as his father. In other words, you go to the greatest of the kings and you align yourself with him and you say, this was my father. It means I'm in the genealogy, someplace in that genealogy. Now, let me explain the place, and this may seem a little unnecessary, but I want to give it to you because I want you to understand the timing of everything. I want you to know that Nebuchadnezzar died. As a matter of fact, you might want to write it in the margin of your Bible. And oftentimes I do this in pencil, or you might want to write it in the margin of the worksheets that we've sent you on the book of Daniel or that you've downloaded as your study guide. But Nebuchadnezzar reigned from 605 BC to 562 BC. He died in 562 BC. And when he died, evil Murdoch took the throne. Now, evil Murdoch only reigned for 2 years. He reigned from 562 to 560. And then he was assassinated. So evil Murdoch, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, lived just those 2 years. He was assassinated. Nergal-Sarnessar, the general, was succeeded by his son. His son's name was Labasi Marduk. Now, Marduk, remember, was the name of one of the prominent gods. There was a big temple to Marduk. Remember, we talked about it. All right. Now, that son was murdered after being on the throne for 9 months. There was a coup. That coup was led by Nabonidus. Now, Nabonidus is the father of Belshazzar. Nabonidus, in this coup, when he took over, he was a man whose mother was a high priestess of the moon god. And so when he took over, then he built this beautiful, beautiful temple to the moon god. He was a man who loved antiquities and who loved to explore. And so he would go off and he would do that. He had problems with the wise men in Babylon. And because the problems were so great, instead of fighting them, and because his interests weren't there, he just went off to Arabia, and there he lived, and he put his son Belshazzar on the throne. All right, now, Belshazzar married a daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. And because Belshazzar married a daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, then that put him in the line of Nebuchadnezzar. So in that marriage and in that alliance, he was known then as a son of Nebuchadnezzar. All right, now let's go on and let's see what's happening. It is 539 BC when this party is being thrown. All right, he ruled, though, Belshazzar ruled, because this is not the last time you're going to see his name. Belshazzar ruled from 553 to 539. 553 to 539. And you're going to see why everything stops at 539. Okay, the party is over at 539. Not 5 in the evening, 39. Not 5 in the morning, not 539 in the morning, but 539 the year. All right, now, he is sitting in a room. They have found a room, and this is where they believe he possibly sat. They found a room in the archaeological digs that was 165 feet by 55 feet. All right, now, the king always sat facing the door. He always sat, and this is, I'm just building the scenario, and you want to see it. He always sat with his back to the wall. Why? So his enemy couldn't come in from the back. So he could see anyone that came in from the door. All right. He sat on his throne on a very high platform. So he was higher than anybody else at the party. He could see over their heads. And so he is sitting there, and all of a sudden, he sees the handwriting on the wall. And of course, when he does, his hips go slack. I mean, he just collapses in the chair and his knees are knocking and he is pale. And he is pale because of this extraordinary, extraordinary circumstance. You know, I have more to tell you about this party and what happened, and it's exciting, but I'll have to tell you when I come back.
We spent 3.5 hours in the Word today, and it flew by because we're doing so much in observing so many different parts of the text. It changed my life and helped me own my faith instead of depending on people for my faith. So I would strongly encourage anybody who's even considering it or has thought about it, please come, because it'll change your life.
Go to precept.org/bootcamp to register today. What would it look like for you to impact the next generation? As children grow up, they have lots of questions about life. What if there was a way to help them discover the answers for themselves? Answers that can only be found in the truth of God's Word. At Precept Ministries International, we have created the Discover for Yourself, or D4Y series, to help the little ones in your life do just that. These hands-on books teach the basic skills of Bible study to children as young as 8 years old, unlocking the door to a lifetime of discovering God's Word. Throughout the month of May, for a gift of any amount, we are offering a copy of our best-selling D4Y title, plus a mini-series of 5 Precepts for Life episodes with Kay Arthur and Jana Arndt. Go to precept.org/Jonah to find out more.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
When Belshazzar lost it at the party because of the handwriting on the wall, I really believe that it's because in his heart, he knew all of a sudden something divine had happened, something supernatural had happened. And maybe it had to do with the fact that he had just called for them to get the vessels that belonged to the house of God and bring them to the party. I mean, this was a slap in the face of God. I mean, this was a boasting in the face of God. It says, bring in those vessels. Go out and get those vessels. You know, the ones that belong to the Jewish God. Go get those. Bring those in. And let's toast our gods with those vessels. I mean, this is entertainment, boys. It is flaunting yourself in the face of God. And I believe that all of a sudden what happened was he realized, listen, something supernatural has just happened. And in all probability, it's because I have just taken the vessels from the house of that Hebrew God and toasted our gods of wood and iron and stone. We don't know. But we know that there was something that caused fear. And just handwriting on a wall, but if you put that with the fact of the action that he had just done. Now watch, it says, they drank the wine, verse 4, and praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze and iron and wood and stone. He had never seen his gods do anything like this. It was always a one-way worship of those gods. It was hoping, yes, that those gods would give them victory. But they had never seen their God of wood or iron or stone ever open its mouth, ever speak, ever move its carved arm, or walked with its carved feet. Now they're seeing, he is seeing a live hand writing on the wall. And it says, suddenly the fingers of the man's hand emerged, began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall. So here they are drinking and honoring their God with the vessels from the house of God, and suddenly the hand appears. Let me ask you a question. Are you a child of God? If you are a child of God, do you honor God as God? Do you bring him the praise and the honor and the glory and the power that is due his name? Because the Bible tells us over and over and over that all praise and honor and glory and power and strength belong to you. Jesus tells us we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And so we know this. If you're a child of God, inside is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to not only show you what is right, but also to convict you of what is wrong. So have you ever gone to a party and all of a sudden gotten caught up in the party and you end up crying at the party? You end up saying, hey, the party's over. You say, hey, the party's over. You can turn off the lights now. Listen, when the party's over, the light many times goes on and you see what happened in the darkness of that party. Have you gone to a party and done things that you shouldn't have done? Have you gone to a party and ended up in a bed with someone and you didn't even know who it was because you partied too much? Have you gone to a party and gone in with the revelry and gone in with the joking and gone in with the off-colored stories and all of that and sat there and you know that you belong to Jesus Christ and you have compromised? You have compromised. You have sat there in the middle of iniquity. You have watched what is going on. You have seen the drunkenness. You have heard the jokes and the crudeness. And you've sat there. And your light, where is that light? It's under a bushel, isn't it? Your salt, where's the salt? It's good for nothing but to be trampled on by the foot of men. Why? Because salt is supposed to be a preservative. There are parties that you cannot go to. Now, there are parties that you're going to be asked to go to. You're going to have, your boss is going to ask you to go to a party. Your husband's going to ask you to go to a party. Your wife's going to ask you to go to a party. Or your children may ask you to go to a party with them. And so you find yourself at that party. All right, when you go, when it's a circumstance, and I hope you understand this. I hope you have enough maturity not to take it, you know, that this is the absolute law because Kay is saying that. When you go to a party, and you're going to a party because, in a sense, you're required to be there, and it's not going to be a bad party. You know that it's not going to be just immorality all over the floor. All right. You go to that party. You are there as a representative of Jesus Christ. Now, this does not mean that you have to get on the top of the table and preach the gospel. But it means that as you move through that party, as you talk to those people, that you realize that you are there. You are there as a representative of God. You are there as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And you need to act like an ambassador. You need to represent the kingdom very well, the kingdom of heaven very, very well. Well, what happens at this party? Well, let's go on. He is shaken. He is called for the wise men. He has asked the wise men to come and to tell him what is going on. He has offered them a purple robe, a chain of gold on their necks, and he has offered them. This is incredible. I wonder if it's because he had too much wine. But he offered them the third rulership in the kingdom. Now, stop and think of how that makes sense. Nabonidus, his father, has gone back to Arabia or gone someplace, and they have been co-ruling. Belshazzar has stayed in Babylon. Now he's saying, hey, there can be a third one that will rule with us. If you can tell me the meaning of that. That's how desperate that king was to know what that handwriting on the wall said. Well, they couldn't find anybody. It says, then all the king's men came in, but they could not read the writing, the inscription. So, listen, it was written on the plaster. It stayed on the plaster. I mean, it stayed on the plaster. The inscription was written. Listen, the Bible's written. It's here. It has stayed here. It has been preserved all these years. The Bible has been preserved for you and me to read it, to know it, to understand it. It's here. So it says, then the king was greatly alarmed. His face grew even paler, and his nobles were perplexed. I mean, you can imagine. This is one more big party that is going on, and all of a sudden the whole atmosphere has changed, and the whole atmosphere has changed, and everybody's sitting in that party hall, in that banquet hall, as they make this great feast, can look at the king. I mean, he is in full view. And they see that he is ashen white now, and they are perplexed. And it says, and the queen entered the banquet hall because of the words of the king and his nobles. And the queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Now, she said it, but it's not going to work. It was a greeting. It was saying, you know, we like you as our king, and we want you to live forever. He says, she says, do not let your thoughts alarm you or your face be pale. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. This was because there was an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. Then Daniel was brought before the king. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who was one of the exiles of Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? Are you the one that Nebuchadnezzar brought from Judah?" Now listen, he's just looking a Jewish man in the face. And he has just taken the vessels from the house of this Jewish man's God and used them to toast his gods. He says, "Are you this man? Are you this exile?" And he says, "Now I have heard about you, that a spirit of the gods is in you, and that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom have been found in you. Just now the wise men and the conjurers were brought in before me that they might read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me, but they could not declare the interpretation of the message." I want to stop there. The party's going to go on, and we're going to study the party later. But I want us to stop and look at a very important precept for life. You and I need to see the contrast between us and between the world. Because this is what you see at this party. You see Daniel, a man who was tuned into God. Daniel who had the first five books of the Bible at least. Who had possibly Kings, not Chronicles. Daniel who would receive letters from Jeremiah, as we will see in Daniel chapter 9. But Daniel didn't have the complete revelation of God. So God dealt with Daniel in prayers and dreams, through his prayer in dreams and visions. You and I have the Word of God. And we're at the party, beloved. We're at the party. We're out there with the world. And that world does not know and understand God's Word. And it is your responsibility and my responsibility to make sure that they do. It is our responsibility at the world's party, so to speak, in the world, to let them know the Word of God, to let them see us as a representative of God. It is our responsibility, beloved, to make sure that in everything that we do, in everything that we say, in every way, that we give Him the honor and the glory and the strength and the power that is due His name. Now, beloved, do it.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.